Last time we spent time on Tafresh Beis, which is the focus on the tshuva aspect, the tefillah aspect of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and specifically as we discussed last time, it may express not only the tzara, the need for the need to do to daven because it's an eis din, yemei din, but also because it's yemei ratzon, because this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most available, b'hi matzo. So we want to maximize our opportunities to daven, as it were, to spend time with Lefnei Hashem. That's Tafresh Beis. Tafresh Gimel moves certainly to the very much to the tshuva aspect. We spent time last time what Shulchan Aruch says about Pas Nachri, about Pas Palter specifically. And the Ramah, we left off in, ahead of the Ramah. The Ramah says, you got to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva. That's a din. As we discussed in the past, the Ramah has that as a mitzvah all year long. That when a Jew realizes that there are things need changing, I have a mitzvah to articulate, to verbalize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be mizvada, to verbalize my tshuva process, my growth and change process. And I need to throw myself during these days into it even more. To be active, not just, you know, something comes along, so I realize that I have a problem, there's something to fix, and so I'll take care of it. I service my tshuva even more than the rest of the year. I need to be proactive. I need to carve out time to sit and think, not just if something pops to mind, but to carve out 5, 10, 15 minutes. Whenever you have a quiet moment of hizbodedus, doesn't have to be in a forest necessarily. It could be if you happen to be sitting by yourself on the bus, not that you should prevent people from sitting next to you on the bus. If you happen to be sitting by yourself on the bus, or you have a quiet moment in yeshiva at home, the dorm room, whatever it is, to go for a walk, to clear your mind, to have 5-10 minutes is carved out just to think. Not doing anything, not talking to anyone, maybe with a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. I would not use something electronic because, unless you put it into airplane mode, because the capacity for it to distract you is, in terms of the risk-reward analysis, you probably stand to lose more than you gain. Maybe a piece of old-fashioned piece of paper and a pen or pencil, or a device in airplane mode, to sit and think. Like, what are some of the things that need change? What are some of the decisions I made in Tav Shanin Tes that I'm proud of, that I want to be mechazik? What are some decisions I made in Tav Shanin Tes that I would do well to handle differently the next time that situation comes up? And then the Ramah goes on to give like almost like a sample Dvar Musar. Because the Mishnah Berurah says it's important to learn Musar certainly during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Mishnah Berurah and Tafresh Gimel, Sibkat and Beis. He quotes the Rush that you should learn Ben Yonah during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Arizal talks about learning Sifrei Musar all year long. The Lagon talks about Sifrei Musar all year long. Mishnah Berurah says, but certainly during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, at the very least. And he quotes from the Yaros Dvash, from Yaros and Ibishitz, that the seven there's a week that's not Yom Tov over the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. From Tzom Gedaliah to Erev Yom Kippur is a full week. He says that's our opportunity to think about, this afternoon's opportunity to think about, how did my Sunday afternoons look like over the past year, since last Rosh Hashanah? Am I happy with how I spent my Sunday afternoons? Am I not happy with how I spent my Sunday afternoons? How I spent my Sunday nights? How late I went to sleep? How often did I look back and say, Gevaldik, I used the time well? How often did I look back and say, in retrospect, I wish I would have made other decisions? And how often did I not look back at all? So today is a good opportunity, as Yaros Vash does. The week between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is a chance each day to think about, because every day has its own schedule, every day has its own opportunities and challenges, but to think about, you know, on Sunday to today, to think about how my Sundays looked. Tomorrow morning, to think about how are my Monday mornings over the course of last year. V'chulu, v'chulu. So the Ramah gives you almost like a sample Dvar Musar. Very fascinating. For all the Dvar Musar from Rishonim could have given, he gives the following one. Listen carefully. He says, you know, the Jew is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg. The Jew eats Chelev B'Shogeg. That's an Avera for which if you did it in Mezi, you would be Chayakaris. If you do B'Shogeg, what happens? How about if a Jew is not sure whether he ate Chelev B'Shogeg? Let's say there were two pieces, not that there was a piece of chalav left out for the cat that I accidentally ate it, but there were two pieces of fat left out. One was chalav, the other one was kosher.
One was hindquarters fat, one was headquarters fat. Back of the animal, front of the animal. So one was for a part of the animal where it's chalav, one of the part of the animal where it's called shuman, kosher fat, and I'm not, I ate one of them. But now I realize, I thought they were both kosher. And I realize I'm not sure which one I ate. They don't have the chemical test available to figure out what remains. It's a piece of fat, I don't know. Either this one that remains is treif, but it was kosher, the one that remains is kosher, it is treif. So then what? Someone said, safik, I did b'shogeg a safik chiv kares, and then carbon asham. Carbon asham? Okay. Here's what's strange. Rabbi Ramah quotes Rabbi Yonam in Maseches Brachos. The same Rabbi Yonah who wrote Shari Tshuva also wrote Maseches Brachos. And as we had a chance to write earlier in the year, it's Malik the Gandash in both Lomdus and Malacha on the one hand, and Agada and Machshav and Musri on the other. So Rabbi Yonah says something a little strange about that. Vada Aveira, you bring carbon chastas. Safik Aveira, you bring carbon asham. What's so strange? Here's what's strange. There's no minimum cost for a carbon chatas. If you go on Dan's Deals and you get like 3 sheep for $2, you know, if you order in the next 25 minutes from Amazon, free shipping, yeah, so you got your sheep for, you know, less than $1 a sheep, that is usable for a carbon chatas, but not for a carbon asham. Whenever you bring a carbon asham, there's a minimum cost that you have to pay to buy that animal. If it's less than shtei kesef, now you have to pay, you have to get a nice shtei kesef animal. If you get a scrawny little animal, you didn't pay so much for it, it's viable. It may not be lovely, may not be mahudar, but it's kosher for chatas, but not for an asham. Frek Ramah, b'shem Rabbi Yonah, I don't understand. A more expensive carbon for the safek than for the vaday? Which one needs more kapara? The vaday, I know I'm chayv. The safek, look, I might not even, it could be I did nothing wrong. So if anything, logically, you should need more kapara, more investment for the vaday than for the safek. The safek is just a safek to begin with. Certainly, it's hard to understand. Or maybe you say, no, you have to have the same because maybe it is, maybe they do that there. So you should bring whatever you would have brought if it was a vaday. But more? Why would I possibly bring more for a safek avera than for a vaday? Rabbi Yonah says, if you look at it only from a halachic perspective, it's very hard to understand. If you look at it psychologically, it makes eminently good sense. He says, the Torah is teaching me an important principle here. And he says, if I know I did the Aveira, so sooner or later I'm going to have to confront the fact that I did the wrong thing. I messed up, I was irresponsible, I should have been paying more attention. I didn't. Wasn't malicious, wasn't bemazed, but I was criminally negligent. I wasn't paying attention to what I was eating. I ended up eating something terribly trace. Okay. So it'll be hard to do tshuva, but at a certain point, you know, I may have to just face the facts. You know, denial will hopefully go on for only so long. But if I did a safek aveira, if I'm not sure that I ate the chalav, maybe I ate the chalav, or maybe I didn't. And then it's so much harder to do tshuva. Because you always have in the background, well, but maybe it really was okay. So, recognizing that tshuva on a safek aveira is psychologically a more difficult bridge to cross than tshuva on a vada aveira, the Torah said, you need to spend more on that carbon. You need to invest, literally and figuratively, more in that type of tshuva. Achareya pulus nimshachna alavavus. If I really throw myself in, and pour a lot, a significant amount of money into this carbon, that's really going to hit home more. And that'll help me get over that bump which we call being more heter, rationalizing things away. get me over the bump and think, well, maybe it wasn't wrong, maybe really what I ate was kosher. Even if what you ate was kosher, there was still criminal negligence in, you weren't paying, one of those two pieces of meat was treif. And you nonchalantly ate one of them without checking to figure out what was kosher. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was good to you and you won the coin flip and you happened to pick the one that was kosher. But either way, there was criminal negligence that you have to do tshuva for. And there's a 50-50 chance that you really did eat chalev, b'shogeg. So logically, rationally speaking, there is plenty to do tshuva for. But psychologically, the fact that there's a safek makes it easier for me to push that to the back burner and not really confront the facts. The capacity, and
And here we bring it home. We have not been Zolcha for in almost 2,000 years to bring Karbanos. But the concept comes up all the time. The notion of recognizing there are certain things that are harder to, for which it's harder to do tshuva, because I'm more heter, that comes up keseder. For the Mesilas Yesharim, as we'll see Mitzvah later in the year, that is the final step in terms of the growth that Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of every Jew. He has three steps that are required of them to be a tzaddik. Beyond that, from Precious and on, that's chasidus. That's lefnei Mashiach HaSadin. The last of the three steps that's expected of every Jew to be a tzaddik, to do the right thing, is after the basics are in place, to work on nikius, what the Gemara calls nikius, which the Mesilas Yesharim understands to mean exactly this. Not being more heter, really being honest with myself about what the Kadosh Baruch Hu really expects of me, as opposed to making up excuses for myself and sort of, you know, kicking the can down the road. So Rabbi Yonah says that is a very central idea. And the Ramah apparently saw fit to, of all the divrei hesorus, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, that the Rishonim offer us, he picked specifically this idea. Karbanos seem beautiful, inspiring, but obscure and abstract, but the concept is not abstract at all. The concept is super practical. And Blachor, what he's saying is, Aseris Mei Tshuva, if you want to, I could do Tshuva all year long. Yeah, but Aseris Mei Tshuva is your chance to do Tshuva things, not, oh, I didn't keep certain chumras. Real halachos, real expectations that the good Lord has of us, we tend to convince ourselves, oh, it's not really, you know, just whatever. It's not such a big deal. Ah, that's just a chumra. There are things which are chumras, and there are things which are ikar adin. So not eating bacon is not a chumra, that's ikar adin. And avoiding yichud, that's an ikar adin. Avoiding negia, it's an ikar adin. And not insulting people, that's ikar adin. And not speaking lashon hara, that's ikar adin. And wearing big day Shabbos, that's ikar adin. And the list goes on and on. Every community has its own sort of, every circle, every person, every community has its own sort of culture as to which halachos are assumed to be optional, even though they're not. And sometimes also which things are optional are assumed to somehow be obligatory. So Aseres Mei Tshuva, the greater closeness, and the greater access we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater Kibbutz Elkim and Tavshin Reish Beis, Behi Matzo, we can leverage that to catapult us over this barrier, over this speed bump of the things that were more heter. So Aseres Mei Tshuva, I think Rama is saying, Aseres Mei Tshuva is the time to take on the tough stuff. Aseres Mei Tshuva is the time to be honest and say, what are the things that really are not chumras? Really, like, God expects me to do X, and God really expects me not to do Y. Those are the halachic obligations, and I have sort of tragically made light of it. And I would close by jumping ahead to Tafresh Vav, which is a real din. The beginning of Siman Tafresh Vav is a Mishnah, that if I want to do tshuva on not having been careful with brachas, I mumble my brachas rishonos, I don't have a kavanah for my brachas rishonos, I don't say the right bracha rishona, same for the bracha achrona, maybe I forget to say bracha achrona lagamre, I haven't been careful as my kriya shema, I haven't been careful about propriety of interactions with other gender, all sorts of ben adam lach, but in a way that was consensual, those are all purely ben adam la makom, and for that I have to do tshuva. But in Tafresh Vav it says, if there was a ben adam lachavero pigia to my avera as well, so then conversations at Kadosh Baruch Hu are step two. Step one is going over to someone and saying, I'm really sorry. And it may be one conversation, it may be several conversations until he's really mocha b'leiv shalom. That's a lot tougher than talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can always feel the love. And you go over to a person, which is really remarkable, because we offend HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, and he's so loving nevertheless. That's not necessarily the case with people, because people are human. That's why we're called human beings. So, but people are human. I hurt someone, he might not necessarily be, he might be Malei Ava to me nevertheless, or he might not be so Malei Ava to me nevertheless. And this is not, here's a prime example, where one might be more right to say, this is like real Judaism, this is like Judaism 101. This is ABCs, this is a Mishnah in Yuma, it's Shulchan Aruch Aruch Haim Tav Reish Rav. This is like really obligatory Judaism. If I did Aver Shbeim L'Chadero, I need to make good with the other person. That's not easy. So you don't want to start Erev Yom Kippur afternoon and grab the guy in shul if he even could be davening together Yom Kippur. Oh, Yimeichel. Sometimes, you know, little kids, oh, Yimeichel. It's like a game. But this is not a game. That if you're 6 years old, so that's the way you understand it. But with Baruch Hashem, we're no longer 6 years old. Baruch Hashem, when we were six, we had a six-year-old understanding. And now, Baruch Hashem, we're a decade or more beyond the age of six, so we can have a more mature understanding. And this is very, very substantive. These are challenging conversations. And to spend, we have Baruch Hashem a couple of days left before Yom HaKadosh, and basic Judaism would demand that we spend some time today. If you have Sunday afternoon off, that's great, because you have a lot of work to do. Part of that work is to ask myself, like, who are the people that I need to make good with? The Yetzirah might get me to think instead about the other side of the girl. Well, who are the people who ought to be coming over to apologize to me? Which is something fair to think about, but it certainly should not, A, distract me from the other list, which is more lamasa for me, of who do I need to make good with, and to also recognize that that list of who I think should be coming over to me to ask for mechila, it could be that, in fact, if I thought about it, maybe we should both be asking mechila from each other, or maybe I'm the only one who needs to ask mechila from him or her. So that's... So these are important issues to think about. And again, the Tafresh Vav, the din, the chiyuv lefayes es chavero, the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu is only mochel a ben adam la chavero, if I already was meratze my chaver, and that is, as I was meramis to before, sometimes it could be an ave, which is a blend of both ben adam chavero and ben adam l'makom. There was an impropriety between the genders, and it was not consensual, and that is a blend of both ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom. And Kadosh Baruch was knocking mochel the b'nai l'makom, I'll tell him ratza b'nai l'chaveru. So that, and every b'nai l'chaveru is b'nai l'makom. Kadosh Baruch was the one who told us to take care of his children, and that's Kadosh Baruch's expectation. So these are real. This is real Judaism. And again, it's a prime example of Tav Reish Gimel. It's a prime example of it's very. These are things where it's very where they're very easy to more hetero to say, oh, whatever. Like you don't really have to do that, and it's very hard to be honest with oneself, and to be accurate, and to say, actually, I do need to do this. And it's really tough. It would be a lot easier to avoid, you know, it's a lot easier to not eat intimate cookies over the course of Zaras Mechuva than it is to have a real conversation where you really ask for forgiveness from someone who legitimately has a grudge against you. So it's good. So if you built up the muscles the first couple of days of Zaras Mechuva, you built up your moral muscles by avoiding the paspalter, so now you can leverage that into... Far, which is appropriate. Again, that is a minig that there are, that is Mechaper quotes, that one should follow to avoid paspalter if one can, as we discussed last time. If you're the one who's shopping for groceries, to avoid paspalter, that's the appropriate thing to do with the course of Sarim and Tshuva. And there are even more challenging things that are absolutely required over the course of Sarim and Tshuva. That is, doing Tshuva, both be Mephayez Mechaver and having honest conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the aftermath of the conversation they have with people. You should talk to Bezecha to Tshuva Shlema. To Tshuva Shlema. Maybe tomorrow we'll pick up with a little more of Hilchos Yom Kippur. Tomorrow I want to talk about everyone's favorite part of Hilchos Yom Kippur. That's, of course, the mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So we'll talk about that. We can talk about kabbalas a little tomorrow also. The Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to... The machlek in Shulchan Aruch is whether or not it's mutter to do kabbalas. Take a look at that tomorrow. Rama says it's mutter to do kabbalas. Mechaber says also do kabbalas. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that mitzvah tomorrow. This mitzvah of eating an Erev Yom Kippur is very, very fascinating. Again, I was joking before I said everyone's favorite mitzvah. L'maisa, it sounds like a daraisa, and mikra za omer darsheni. Well, why is there a mitzvah of Yom Kippur, and what are we supposed to learn? Because there's a striking mitzvah that leads up to Yom Kippur, such an awesome, profound, poignant day. There must be a lot that this mitzvah achila is meant to teach us. So we'll take a look at that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the Hilchos Yom Kippur itself. If you have a chance, we're going to talk a little bit about Hilchos Sukkah or Lulav tomorrow also. There's a lot to talk about.